Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo, Aaron Alvarado, and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Joining me as usual from Dallas, Texas, Skylar Teo.
What up, what up?
And guest host, Las Vegas native, I think, I'm pretty sure. Also,
yeah, you're correct.
I'm correct. Okay, good. She's also the co-host of the Pop Culture Footnotes podcast, downloaded in iTunes and Stitcher. And honestly, I have no idea if it's in those places, but probably is. It's Shannon Williams. Shannon.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah.
Well, is Aaron a girl now?
Yeah.
No, we kicked Aaron off the pod. He's gone. He's done. No, Aaron had prior arrangements this evening, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
But that's all. That's not why we have Shannon here. Shannon was joining us one way or another. Shannon is our Oscar enthusiast, our Oscars expert, which is why we brought her on to do a whole recap of the Oscars. Shannon, you do an incredible thing, and I don't know how many years you've been doing this, but when they announce the nominees each year for the Oscars, you actually go out and view every film that's nominated before the ceremony.
Yeah. I have to admit I'm a teeny bit of a fraud on that this year because I missed two foreign films that were not available in Utah because we have a hard time getting independent cinema here. But other than that, all of them. So.
Wow. Including Boss Baby.
Yes, including Boss Baby.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going to say the movie you missed.
I had heard your podcast before then, so I knew it was going to be terrible. And lo and behold, it was.
I was hoping you were going to say that the movie you missed was the Kobe Bryant movie, which Skylar and I would absolutely forgive you for doing.
We're going to have to talk about that.
Yes. Oh,
I have a whole rant about it.
Oh, we will be talking about it.
Great.
We will be talking about it.
The biggest Me Too guy, though, at the part, like the biggest winner of the night was Me Too.
So can we, I can't, we'll do it. Maybe, I don't know if you want to do it now or later, but can we rank the accused people of the Me Too? Like, can rank the ones that won awards, like Gary Oldman and
Gary
Kobe
Oldman?
Bryant.
Yeah, one. He's up there giving a speech. People are applauding. Yet,
yeah.
He hates women. He hates gays. He hates minorities. And yeah. But admitted to all of this. And he beat his wife.
They just handed that man an Oscar.
Yeah. Yep,
he's a horrible human being, but he's British.
Do you think in their minds they're like, it's more like giving Churchill the Oscar?
And Churchill was super problematic.
And Churchill was definitely not a womanizer.
Oh, Churchill might be a slightly less bad version of Gary Oldman, but
I don't know. It's funny because so on my podcast, we talked about all of the Best Picture nominees and my co-host hates Winston Churchill. So for Darkest Hour, she just ranted about how much she hates him. For
now, to be clear, your co-host is a Nazi, right?
Yeah. You're
you would have to listen to it because I don't remember her argument as well.
Your co-host was definitely rooting for the actors.
They took down my country. Yeah. No,
your co-host your co-host was watching Dunkirk, hoping those kids didn't get off that island.
No,
Germany, go! Yeah.
Oh boy. No good on Gary Oldman getting that. No good on Kobe getting that.
No good at all.
And you guys, so have you guys seen any of the other short films too? Because
no, not one of them.
So I saw them all back to back. They played that one first. And seriously, I went with a friend and we just looked at each other saying, well, okay, that was dumb. And then you get to the other four that are actually good.
Are you talking about the Kobe one?
Yeah. Ugh. So it's so confusing to me because even quality wise, like Me Too movement aside, that short film is not very good.
Because Academy voters, the people who were voting on that didn't see any of it. They just saw the name.
Absolutely didn't see it. These are people that passed in Los Angeles. Like we expected them not to vote for Kobe Bryant. It's like catnip to these people. Like they can't help themselves. They didn't see the movie.
That was not good.
Yeah, well, they were
shocked to win Best Supporting Actor next year for Kazam 2.
I hope next year, when Kobe's supposed to come back and present, be a presenter next year for the short films that he chooses to step aside, like Casey Affleck. Except not a tradition for that category.
Poor Casey. Yeah. Dude, he's the least of these three. And he didn't even get to go present after winning.
Yep. Yep.
My boy.
It's all problematic. There were a lot of things that were problematic, honestly, about last night's Oscars. And I want to get right into it.
You want to talk about Gal Gadot and Israeli freedom? Because I'm ready to talk about it.
Oh, is that what you want to get into? You want to get into the Israeli-Palestinian conflict?
While Israel is still fighting against the Palestinians every day.
Can I say, though, about just going back to the whole, like, voting for Kobe Bryant thing, we put our trust in these people. How many people are in the Academy? 3,000 to 5,000, something
like that?
So we put our faith in these people to make decisions, to hand out the most prestigious movie award that, like, breaks my heart almost every year. And I want to pretend like it doesn't matter. But in reality, it does matter for the careers of these people, because people will make more money and get better roles if they're nominated or if they win. I had this whole illusion shattered one year at Sundance when I stood in line for a film. It was actually Searching for Sugar Man. I stood next to a woman who was a producer. She is an Academy voter, and she was walking me through her ballot, she was showing me online how it works. And she was talking to me about movies that she had voted for. I think it was the previous year and the reasons why, and to listen to her personal biases that have absolutely nothing to do with the, like, artistic merit of a movie or an artist's performance. She was telling me why she couldn't vote for a certain actor or actress because they did this XYZ, you know, in their personal life. And I just had this moment of, like, we trust you. We trust you.
Well, the BYU.
Anonymous, like, they pick Academy members and then get their ballot anonymously. And just reading those is exactly what you said.
There were some,
like,
that were online the last few days that were terrible.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, here's why I'm not voting for this movie. It's Get Out.
It's so dumb.
Movie, but people want to vote for it because it's race baiting and ugh.
Yeah.
But no, when I was at BYU, I knew a girl who her mom was an Academy member, and she came up to school, and, like, she had acted in something like 30 years ago and got invited to the Academy for some reason. And so she still got a vote every year.
Yeah.
And she knew nothing about movies, but was incredibly opinionated about things she was unaware of, and, like, was going on about how The Artist was the greatest film she'd ever seen. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Get out.
Turns out The Artist wasn't even close to the best movie that year.
Should not have been nominated.
She's the reason it won.
It's crazy. There was a guy. There was a guy in my area of Sacramento growing up that had won an Oscar for a documentary he made in the 1970s. And if you win an Oscar, you're a voting member for life.
Yeah.
And you better believe he filled out that ballot every year. And that man also had stopped watching movies decades ago. Decades ago. I think he would hand the screeners to the kids, but yeah, that he still voted. I mean, his kids would tell him who to vote for. There should be the credibility really is shot in this whole thing. Yet I keep coming back every year and I care and I get invested. Shannon, why? Why do we do this?
I don't know. The Oscars are kind of the way that I got into film. So now I'm just stuck on it. So yeah, like, I don't know.
What do you mean
I guess
the way you got into film, like watching the Oscars telecast?
Yeah, like just when I was younger, I mean, I still remember like Whoopi Goldberg hosting the Oscars and me showing up in like fifth grade and wanting to talk to people about it at school. And no one cares when you're like 10 years old what happened in the Oscars. Just watching now that I've watched all of the films that are nominated, like, it's just made me have a really greater appreciation of film and everything. And so, I don't know.
What's your earliest memory of like Oscar heartbreak of someone you were really rooting for that didn't win?
Let's hear yours.
Yeah, it's definitely not my earliest Oscar memory, but the first time I was really pulling for someone was Haley Joel Osment for The Sixth Sense.
Oh.
He lost to Michael Caine for The Cider House Rules, and I haven't forgiven Michael Caine ever since. And Michael Caine gave a fine performance, but not better than Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I didn't watch many of the movies when I was younger, though. That's what's funny, because I remember, and I had an early bedtime when I was younger, so I wouldn't even see the end. But I remember, like, my mom would come into the room the year the Million Dollar Baby one. My mom, I wasn't quite asleep yet, and she comes into my room and sees I'm still awake, and she's like, just so you know, Million Dollar Baby won Best Picture. I know you care, even though I hadn't seen this movie. So I don't know. The first big one, like, I was really pulling for a Social Network a while ago. Like, I'm obsessed with that movie still.
I love David Fincher. He's on my Mount Rushmore. I love that movie. Skyler hates it because he can't handle Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg is the worst human being on this planet. And he got nominated for Best Actor for playing himself.
Yeah.
He was doing himself. Yeah.
How many times does that happen? That's a whole nother argument. So many people get nominated.
It might have happened with our old little Timothy Chalamet.
Oh.
It happened with everyone this year getting nominated for roles that are just like them.
But yeah, Gary Oldman is pretty much just like that.
Oh, could you imagine? Yeah. I also like to imagine Denzel as Roman J.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned. Your first person you cheered for was Haley Joel Osment, because my first person I cheered for was also a kid actor named Haley Steinfeld.
Oh, back True when Grit. I was
five during the True Grit nomination she had, and man, I hated Melissa Leo for like the last 6 years. Man.
Well, I'm grateful that Oscar nominee propelled her into this prestigious career where she's starring in Pitch Perfect 3.
And Pitch Perfect 2. Although if they would have killed off her character, it would have been a better movie. Go back to our first episode.
Did you see the third one? Ooh.
I have not seen the third one.
It is bad news. Anyway, another early memory. This is earlier than The Sixth Sense. I remember watching as a kid The English Patient clean up and thinking that as a kid, early. I don't know what this is. I don't know. Obviously, it was an R-rated film. I had, it certainly wasn't old enough to watch it. And I remember thinking, this is what good cinema is. Like, as a child, I was honestly, it was like I was indoctrinated by the broadcast. Like, oh, this was the best movie this year. When I get older, I can't wait to watch it. It took me a while, by the way, guys, to get around to watching The English Patient, like maybe 2 decades. Can I tell you? Quite a letdown. Quite a letdown. I was told that was the best picture that year. wasn't great. Was not great. Shannon, I want to get your overall thoughts on how you thought last night's Oscar, everything about it went. Can you start off, though, by telling us how you did with your predictions?
Yeah. So I got 18 out of the 24.
Whoa.
Which actually, I'm surprised it wasn't better than that because it was so predictable this year. I follow the Oscars like way, way early. And I plan a big party for it. So if you're watching Facebook Live, like I'm in my Ladybird get up,
you dyed your hair like Ladybird.
I dyed my hair so that it's Ladybird. So anyway, I'm very invested in the Oscars. And Stoffer, I messaged you afterward, and that was a big letdown for me. It is my favorite night of the year, and I thought it was such a drag for the whole thing. But pretty much from the get-go, even the monologue, I wasn't like super. And it's funny because I always think that the Golden Globes are kind of trash compared to the Oscars. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan, but this year the Golden Globes were so great that the Oscars is a huge letdown for me. So kind of a bummer. Was
the letdown just the lack of surprises, like no big emotional like moments, or is it the actual like production, the presenters, the whole thing?
It was kind of all for me. Like I said, I don't think, not that I wanted to get very political, but I think there was an opportunity to have some emotional moments with like the Me Too movement, or a chance for Jimmy Kimmel to really like go at Harvey Weinstein. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't feel like Jimmy Kimmel really like did as much as he could. I don't know. I'm really into like musical performances, and I know that Jimmy Kimmel isn't the type that's going to get up there and do the song and dance, but even the nominees, what?
Like Seth MacFarlane did.
Oh, and well, that wasn't it. That's a terrible example of that.
It was good.
So Skylar loved it.
Even the original song performances, though, I don't think were as moving as they were in the past. So I don't know.
So I think you're totally right. And I want to get Skylar's feelings on this as well, because a few years ago, we had the whole Oscars So White controversy. The Oscars were as white as this podcast is right now. Aaron helped us there, but he is gone. Just for tonight, though.
I'm giving the female representation right now, though.
So. This is the most female this podcast has ever been.
That's true. Lindsay's been on, I think, once. anyway, so Oscar So White controversy. That next year, I was like, you know, it was that same year after the nominations came out. It was going to be Chris Rock. I mean, I was like, I was all ready. I was like, here we go. Let's fireworks. Let's do this. Like, this is going to be a show. We knew that there was going to be a moment. We knew it was going to be the theme of the night. It was going to be talked about. I had that same feeling leading into last night, thinking, okay, this has been boiling, like building up. I mean, we've had a lot going on here. And it's, you know, over an even longer period of time, I think, with like the once that kind of the Me Too movement really hit. And it felt weirdly muted and lackluster. Yeah. And Hollywood never passes up an opportunity to get, you know, to be able to whether I agree with it or not. And of course, in the case of Me Too, I certainly, agree. But like they jump on that soapbox and they'll absolutely preach. And I was waiting for it. I was wanting it. And I didn't get it except from a handful of moments. Right.
Like Frances.
Yeah. It was Frances.
Frances saved it a little bit.
Which was amazing because her previous award acceptance speeches from the other like award shows leading up to weren't good.
Oh, she's so grumpy at the Golden Globes.
She's so grumpy.
Oh my gosh.
I kind of love her for it, but she's nuts.
She absolutely is.
Did you hear that she on accident married Ethan Coen, the guy who wrote Garfield? She thought she was married one of the good Coen brothers, and she married Ethan Coen.
The classic mistake. You got to make wrong Coen. Right Coen brother.
That's why she's so grumpy all the time.
Skylar, what did you think of last night?
I saw the monologue from the Spirit Awards, which happens the day before the Oscars. This was disappointing. Like the Spirit Awards killed it, which is such a small event in comparison. But I just thought the whole Kimmel monologue was bad. Like, ooh, the Oscar statue. I don't like referring to the Oscar statue as Oscar. Like that's off-putting to me for some reason. And they did that a lot. And then referring to him being penisless.
Yeah,
weird. Just the whole tone was off. Yeah. The three quarters of Get Out. Obama joke or not a Trump joke just fell flat. And there's just so much not funny. But then you see how the Spirit Awards attacked Weinstein and like just the whole Me Too movement in Hollywood specifically, because that's what I thought was interesting, is how it was mostly about Hollywood and how they were the ones creating this issue. And Kroll and Mulaney killed it with that, and Kimmel didn't touch that with a 10-foot stick. And it was
to defend Jimmy a little bit, it's easier to have another person to have energy to feed off of. Obviously, Kroll and Mulaney have like a ton of chemistry. Also, the Independent Spirit Awards, they can get away with a lot more than Kimmel could get on, you know, network television.
Yeah, but he can still tell the same stories, just a little different. Like, I mean, it's the Oscars. They saying, we saw your boobs.
Well, that's why Seth MacFarlane hasn't been invited back. It won't be. Kate Winslet's going to make sure of that fact. I like Kimmel a lot. I find Kimmel very funny. I think it was hard because he hosted last year and had a much funnier monologue and a much better show. And without the catastrophe ending, which made it even more amazing. Like, I mean, really memorable. And then this one, he comes out and it's just like, oh, I've seen you do this way better, which kind of for me almost just highlighted how uneventful and exciting it was.
Yeah. And they had that weird bit at the beginning too, where, and I almost forgot about it, where it was like black and white and kind of announcing it like an old timey Oscar thing. Strange all around.
I honestly think that the ending from last year's show made it hard for this year's show to follow that up without like starting the show off addressing that. Like, I think they should have had the La La Land producers team all come out, accept the award, or like do the whole thing again, like maybe give Moonlight just like their own time, or like an apology to La La Land. They should have done something to like take that face on, and then start the show after that. I'm like, see, that would have been the start.
Once I heard Jimmy was getting invited back to do it again, I thought, okay, well, this is an obvious play. He's going to open the ceremonies with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway walking out and just doing it over again, just pretending like it, and then announcing Moonlight, having everyone there. They get their moment, they give their speech, and then they maybe someone runs by with like a board that says, you know, 365 days later, and then they go. I that would have worked, and it would actually have given Moonlight a moment, even though it still doesn't make up for what happened. It's which, by the way, there is a, I think the Hollywood Reporter did an oral history of what had happened backstage last year, and it's incredible. The behavior of the PricewaterhouseCoopers people and their unwillingness to even go out on the stage and try and fix the problem. It's worth a read.
Man, I just...
check that out.
So let's talk good. Positives. What was the best moment of the night?
Let me look at... I really...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say there was Tiffany Haddish getting out there with Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
And they had like a full like 5 minutes that they did, it seemed like. And it was really strong. I forgot that Maya Rudolph's black for a second.
And married to Paul Thomas Anderson.
Not married.
That's the weirdest thing to me.
They're just like in a relationship.
Oh,
like,
okay.
They keep it cash.
Still the weirdest thing to me.
PTA getting nominated for Best Director is a travesty. Go on. I'm sorry.
What?
Not at all.
Wait, over who? Wait, what?
Over literally anyone. Like, you should have gotten Best Director.
Did you see Phantom Thread?
Yes.
So I'm on the record. The story isn't the type of story that I, you know, interests me or I was crazy about, but I, the whole time watching is like, this is a master of his craft. Like, this is incredibly, impeccably directed.
No? Well, for me.
I mean, I would have taken Lowry, but maybe no one else.
Right.
So Sam Rockwell was
my
highlight.
Three Billboards was better directed. I thought Call Me By Your Name was better directed.
Oh, really? I mean, I enjoyed Three Billboards, but the direction wasn't really.
Really? I thought the direction of Three Billboards was outstanding.
I mean, it was fine.
So many moving pieces. But yeah, Tiffany Haddish was hilarious. As always, she was wearing her dress that she talked about in SNL, which I thought was a great bit. Mm-hmm. Maya Rudolph was funny. Like, they had great banter. Yeah. Highlight of the show for me.
What about you?
Are we campaigning for them to host the Golden Globes now? Because that's what I want.
Dude,
I want the whole show.
Absolutely.
She's going to be everywhere. She's the new Tiffany Haddish. I don't know.
What's up with her post SNL career? We need her doing more things.
Dude, she had Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing in how many years?
She also had that show Up All Night.
And did you guys? Oh yeah! Did you guys see Away We Go?
Yeah.
Because this is a movie I love and feel like is so underrated.
Away We Go.
Her and John Krasinski are a couple. God.
Oh, that's right.
Away We Go.
Yes.
Wait.
And it's a dramatic role for her, and she's excellent in it. So yeah, she should really be doing more.
Be honest with me. Is John Krasinski excellent in it?
I think he's great. I'm biased.
But he's not a good actor.
Yeah.
But you think he's great, but is that because you're okay with him playing Jim in okay.
Yeah. Do you guys not like him?
No, I like him.
At all?
No, Skylar's a big fan of his. Oh, no. Skylar went to the premiere of the Secret Soldiers of Bing Crosby in Dallas.
Yeah. John Krasinski helped get Donald Trump elected.
You saw that in the Dallas Cowboy Stadium, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. 60,000 people.
Yeah, okay, that movie wasn't great.
Oscar
one I had to watch.
I like him more than Skylar does.
Who's excited for A Quiet Place, though? We finally get to see on screen Emily Blunt have to realize that she's married to John Krasinski.
Oh, no.
Speaking of Emily Blunt, did you guys see? Did you see the Mary Poppins trailer?
Yeah.
Skylar is down on it right now.
Why?
I'm worried we're overexposing.
What?
What are we overexposing? Goodness? Happiness?
No, I mean, like, I love Hamilton. I love Moana. But
I was going to say, just Lin-Manuel Miranda alone.
Do we have too much Lin-Manuel Miranda right now?
No, we don't. There's no such thing.
Yeah, I'm glad Shannon's here to defend it because I'm getting a little fatigued. And it happened when I saw him pop into this most recent season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I was like, Lynn, you got to say no to some stuff, man. You got to say no to some stuff.
But yeah.
Have some
the
sort
tipping
of
point for me was when he became best friends with Jimmy Fallon. And it's like, oh no. And then I saw the fake beard, like fake whatever they did with his face in Mary Poppins, and I'm just like, oh no.
Okay.
He's not so, doing like a Cockney accent, though, is he? He's not the Dick Van Dyke replacement in this. Hopefully.
He's absolutely the Van Dyke replacement.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, but the accent.
I think he's doing Cockney, isn't he? He's playing a Cockney.
I hope.
Well,
he's doing like the classic Puerto Rican Cockney.
Shannon, what was the highlight for you last night?
I think it was also Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph. Wow. I really liked Frances McDormand's speech. I guess I was waiting, like my feminist self was just waiting for a really big moment for me to be like, yay, women. And when there was no Greta Gerwig winning for screenplay or director, that was kind of the moment.
Every time they cut away to Greta, it broke my heart because you'd see her reacting so enthusiastically for people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just see her bursting with kind of emotion and character. I'm like, get that woman in front of the microphone on that stage. I want to hear her speech. We were robbed.
And I just looked again. We can't talk about
it.
There were no upsets and it was such a bubble.
There were a couple, but they're minor.
What were even the upsets?
So I would say Score was the most surprised. Is the Score
really? Even that is the Best Picture winning the Score. A huge upset.
Yeah, but it was before the Best Picture won. But at the time, like he wasn't on. He was in the odds makers and predictions. I mean, he's already won an Oscar. There were better scores for sure.
Phantom Thread.
It was distinct though.
Yeah, it was interesting. I like the score. I mean, that was surprising to me. And if that's as surprised as I get, is the Best Score Oscar, that's a pretty uneventful evening.
Well, dude, I was like,
the whole night.
Best live action short was a surprise for me. Best documentary. Those are the surprises.
You didn't have Icarus?
I didn't. And which is crazy. I loved Faces Places so much. And I was really hoping for Agnes Varda to get, she doesn't have an Oscar. And I feel like she has an honorary Oscar that she got this year, but I was pulling for her. But I loved Icarus though.
Well, Icarus, I will say this about Icarus. I enjoyed watching it, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But there is this level of kind of, it feels cheating a little bit when something just kind of falls into your lap. And not to mention, what's his name? Ben Fogel or whatever. He definitely manipulates the emotions and the tone and the feeling in a way that's not exactly true to documentary cinema. But I want someone to win because they were a great documentarian that told an incredible story in a way that opened people's eyes. Not like you got really lucky because you were trying to juice your way and just see what PEDs did. And all of a sudden you're housing this Russian fugitive and you have a great story. It just fell into your lap and you get an Oscar for it. I mean, yeah.
I got to say, though, I was all in. So I follow professional cycling. And so I was all in on that film anyway. And the fact that he was like willing to dope and do that whole thing was fascinating enough to me. And then, it just got nuts from there. Yeah.
Now, when you say you follow professional cycling, what does that entail?
I watch the Tour de France every year. My dad like follows all the major ones, so, and tells me about them. But we're big into Lance, and so the doping still makes me mad.
At what point did you abandon Lance? Because some people stayed for a remarkably long time.
I was one of those. I just want to believe in something. That was my dad and I were hoping, but now, I mean, the reality is that they all dope, and so he's still the best of the doping athletes.
Doubt he is the best at doping and hiding it. No question.
He's the Barry Bonds of cycling.
He was also the best at destroying people's lives that accused him of doping. He was the best at that.
Exactly.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting because along with Icarus, so Brian Fogel, the director, was on Lance Armstrong's podcast, and you guys should listen to that too because that was really nuts.
It's a podcast.
Lance Armstrong has a podcast.
What is he doing? PEDs or like what?
I don't know. I've never listened to it because I'm not supporting him, but I'm surprised he still has, I think with, you know, his
Live Strong
camp. Yeah. All the Live Strong stuff. I think he's still kind of popular for that, but yeah, it was interesting. He doesn't, they talked about the film and he doesn't seem remorseful about it anyway. So, yep.
All right.
On a tangent. No,
that's what this podcast is. It's a podcast of tangents. So my highlight, I mentioned briefly earlier, it was Sam Rockwell winning. Not because I actually think that he was the best in the category. He wasn't. That was Willem Dafoe's Oscar. However, I'm a huge Sam Rockwell fan. The man deserves an Oscar. And I've just grown to be okay with the career achievement Oscar. Not that he's like super old, but he definitely has a body of work that I think is worthy of an Oscar. He should be an Oscar winner, even if Willem Dafoe did better this year. And I thought it, probably thanks to him having a lot of practice at the previous award shows, he gave a really good speech that was kind of well put together. It wasn't too much of a mess. So that it was cool to see him. I'm such a big Sam Rockwell fan. So seeing him get an Oscar was awesome.
You just love seeing him. That's why you love the movie Mute so much.
What's that?
Yes. Oh. Love Mute.
Did you watch Mute, Shannon, on Netflix?
No.
Duncan Jones film? Yeah.
Make sure you have to watch it before the Oscars. Your
great recommendation for it and passed on that one.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Sam Rockwell talking to his wife Leslie was super cute though. Yeah. But I didn't want him to win either, although I love him. I was also really going for Willem Dafoe on that, but his speech kind of won me over. Mm. It was cute.
So it was with Guillermo del Toro. It's like I didn't want that movie to win, but gosh, he's so cute.
I know. And even seeing him on the stage and giving his speech, both for best, you know, well, during the Best Director one, it was just like, you know what? I think, you know, with time, this isn't going to age well. I don't think this is a movie we'll be talking about years from now. But I am happy to see someone that's a seemingly good person, seems like a genuine guy, win an Oscar. Like, that's exciting. At least it's, you know, at least that's something. Shape of Water.
Age horribly.
It's not going to age well. It's really not.
No, not at all. People are going to be like, Shape of Water was Best Picture? Yikes. That's a strong year, too. Like, that's the crazy part.
Yep. So we have comments. Comments are rolling in. I'm not going to share all of them. But before we go to our lowlights, and think about that right now while I'm doing this, what was your lowlight or the snub or your most disappointing moment? Aaron pipes in, which is amazing because he was supposed to be busy during this time, but here he is. I have a question. Is Aaron getting Dr. Dave's pay for his unexcused absence? Yes, he is getting Patreon funds absolutely withheld. Looks like B-more piped in, but I'm not gonna
that's something about that one. Equality of it.
Problematic.
Problematic red. Not good.
His two favorite character actors won this year, Sam Rockwell, who played a bad person, and Gary Oldman, who is a bad person. And then the most tired Twitter joke from last night has resurfaced from Alex Veludo, local comedian. Kobe has one Oscar, Vladi Divac has zero. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate that. Big Lakers fan.
There's a lot of those things going around.
Yeah, a lot. Sacramento didn't
Kobe
win an Oscar.
Kobe Bryant and Leonardo DiCaprio have the same amount of Oscars. Nolan has zero and Kobe has one.
How many teams does a Kobe have a GM ship for, you know? Like, back off. Feisty.
Yeah, no, he's coming back. He's coming back. I'm not gonna do it, guys. I'm not gonna allow myself to take the bait here. I'm not gonna do
it. Don't feed the trolls.
I'm not gonna do it.
He did say the Kings suck.
Alex Veludo has a stand-up special on VidAngel, so you guys go check it out. I recommend everyone getting a VidAngel subscription and then immediately canceling it after you watch Alex's stand-up special. You know, he does.
VidAngel's doing stand-up specials?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Is that like the Mormon Netflix?
A VidAngel?
Yeah.
No, it's like the Devil's Netflix is what that is.
Like they take the movies and make them Mormon friendly?
Okay. I have no idea. I don't have a subscription. But anyway. Guys, the low light. Other than Kimmel's theater bit, What was the most? We'll start with you, Skylar. Most disappointing.
The theater bit wasn't even the worst part of the night.
No, it wasn't. But it was just a good reminder about how pretentious and elitist Hollywood is.
The low light. Oof.
What were you disappointed about? Or
I mean, just the general results. Like, yes. Lady Bird not winning anything. Yeah. Get Out only winning one award.
Yeah.
In the technical categories, Baby Driver not getting either of those technical awards, which it should have got editing for sure.
Yeah. There's Dunkirk, right?
Dunkirk won for both.
I'm okay with Dunkirk winning technical awards because that movie was technically incredible.
Yeah, but the film editing.
Yeah, it was better than Baby Driver.
Anyway, and then production design not going to 2049 is so unjust. It's just the most incredible looking world that I've ever seen in a futuristic movie. And everything felt so lived in and old while still being the future.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
So I will say Blade Runner 2049, which was Aaron's number one film of last year, it won more Oscars than I was expecting it would.
Yes.
Yep. Visual effects. And what else?
Cinematography.
Yeah,
cinematography. Right. Roger Deakins.
Yay!
Roger Deakins finally. Holy cow.
Yay!
Which reminds me, by the way, that being Aaron's favorite film, I wanted you, Shannon, to go over. I was going to do this at the beginning, but I totally forgot. I wanted you to go over what some of your favorite films were of last year, just so the people listening have an idea, because most people that listen to the pod are aware of all of our opinions. But what were your best films from 2017?
Yeah, so I didn't rank them because for some reason this year is hard for me to rate some stuff above others. I don't know what it was. So Lady Bird was my favorite, obviously, with the outfit and whatnot. Loved that. And then for second, it's kind of a three-way tie. Loved Blade Runner 2049. The Florida Project, which I'm glad, Stoffer, you talked a lot about because I love that film and I feel like no one cares about it enough. And then I loved Call Me By Your Name, which I get the impression that you guys don't really care about.
Skylar loves it.
That movie. Like, love that movie.
I saw it at Sundance, and so over a year ago, and thought, this is the Oscar one. Like, that's going to be it. Saw it again a year later.
It's so experiential. Like, I think about spending a summer at that house and just listening to that soundtrack and just hang out with Sufjan and being like shirtless in a pool. Like, I don't know. It's the ultimate experiential movie. Like, I just want to be in that. Oh, it's so good. What a movie. Yeah. And did you think that Armie Hammer was charming?
Yes.
Thank you.
Again, I'm probably
So this is an ongoing argument in our text thread, Shannon, just to give you a little context. Aaron and I are a little bit lower on Call Me By Your Name, and Skylar is very
high on it. But they're also very homophobic.
Oh my gosh.
They said, ew, that whole third act was gross.
I will say Call Me By Your Name was definitely the whitest movie of the year. I will give you that. No doubt about that.
It probably was.
Yeah, no, it definitely
was. I was going to say Shape of Water, but then I remember
Sufjan Stevens. Shirtless rides around Italian. It was.
Was there anybody not white in that movie?
When I first heard about Call Me By Your Name, the hype was so strong that it was like, we have a front runner for the best picture. And I think that hurt my perception of it. Cause when I got around to watching it, I was like, so when does this movie actually get going? And then the credits rolled and I was like, oh, that was the movie.
Do you remember that one time when, what was the movie? Not Fate of a Nation, Birth of a Nation. People were like, oh yeah, this is going to win an Oscar. Remember that? Yeah. That was good.
Well,
that was
so good time.
I saw that at Sundance too, and loved it, and was all on board. And then all of the allegations came out.
Oh, so it's actually a good movie?
Huh?
It's actually a good movie, like despite everything.
I actually liked that movie. I don't think it was technically as strong as other ones last year, but I feel like it didn't get its fair shot. But I don't know.
The Sundance effect is a real thing. Like there are films that I've seen.
Oh, it absolutely.
Yeah, I walk out thinking, that's one of the best films I've ever seen.
That's the greatest thing.
And then six months later, I watch it. And I'm like, ooh, that did not hold up well. 6 months later,
did that happen to any of our movies?
Let's run through them. Ain't Them Body Saints, still great. Toys House,
incredible.
Still great.
New name, but still great.
New name, but still great. What else did we see?
It was the Paul Rudd movie. Oh, it was terrible.
Prince Avalanche.
with Emil Hirsch.
Not good.
So I haven't revisited it, so it's hard for me to say. But that was a Gordon Green. What's his name?
David Gordon Green.
David Gordon Green. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Was that just those three movies we saw? Right? Anyway, okay. Sorry, Shannon, your favorite films from last year?
Those are the top ones.
Florida Project, Call Me By Your Name.
Yep, Blade Runner, Lady Bird.
Blade Runner and Lady Bird. Great.
That seems like a good mix. Honestly, for the most part, like, I like a lot of Oscar-y stuff. I tend to like things that's a little bit on the quirkier side, though. So, like, that's why Lady Bird so much. Wes Anderson's my favorite director, and mm-hmm. so I like...
Ooh, favorite Wes Anderson film. This is a debate we have.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's a toss-up between Royal Tenenbaums and Grand Budapest.
Ooh.
I like Fantastic Mr. Fox, too. You could change your mind any given day on it.
So it's Tenenbaums for me. But yeah, I like Rushmore.
That's probably still it.
I think Skylar's favorite is Darjeeling.
Really?
No, it's not. No.
I think everyone agrees that's like the only not good Wes Anderson film.
The weakest of the bunch.
I just Life Aquatic. It's not for me.
So
despite having my favorite actor of all time.
All right, guys. Back to the Oscars talk. other than the lack of surprises at being the biggest letdown, for me, it was Lady Bird going home empty-handed. Hashtag Sacramento proud. But specifically the moment of Greta Gerwig. I was still holding out a little bit of hope. I knew like Guillermo's probably going to win and Jordan Peele had a puncher's chance. But there's like a little bit like, I feel like just because there was no surprises, there was something inside of me that was like, there's got to be at least one. So there's one moment we're going to have that's going to shock the world. And maybe it's going to be Greta. And if not Greta, maybe Lady Bird for Best Picture. And when none of those happen, it's just, ugh. So Greta should have won Best. But at the same time, you know, happy for Guillermo. But I also think she should have won screenplay, even though I loved seeing Jordan Peele get up there and get his Oscar, which is awesome. I think her script was better. And so it was hard. I mean, I was happy for Jordan. And again, happy for Guillermo. But like Greta going home empty-handed, Lady Bird going home, Saoirse Ronan, who was absolutely... was the best actress, and even more so Laurie Metcalf over Allison Janney, which was like
that was the letdown of the night.
Oh my gosh.
I don't understand how Oscar momentum builds, because it is so dumbfounding to me that everybody's like, yeah, Allison Janney, definitely the best performance by an actor. Wow, like, I don't get it.
It's as if people, it's just like Allison Janney is just going 110% nonstop with this character. To the point that it is a caricature, and
it's a character. It's just playing a cartoon character.
And
The Rock should have won for Moana.
And I love Allison Janney, but yeah, I knew the supporting awards are so early, and so I kept thinking to myself before the ceremony, like, okay, you know that Allison Janney's going to win and Laurie won't. You just can't let it ruin the entire night for you, because I knew it was going to happen. It's so upsetting, because this was the one in particular where I think Allison Janney was playing Allison Janney, and not that she's, you know, a terrible mother or whatnot. I just mean she's played this kind of type before, and so it wasn't that surprising. I don't know. And Laurie Metcalf's performance is so nuanced, and you have to both hate her better, and yeah, there's just so many more layers, whereas Lavanna, Allison Janney, you just hate her the whole way through.
That's what hurts so much, is just what you said. It's the juxtaposition of the performances. One is absolutely way over the top, to the point to me that it was grating. And again, I like Allison Janney too. I like Allison Janney having an Oscar, but not this performance. Laurie Metcalf was so far on the other end of that spectrum. The scene of her driving the loop in the Sacramento airport after dropping off Lady Bird is some of the most phenomenal acting I have ever seen. Not just this year, but any year. Like, that woman deserves an Oscar. She hadn't been in a film in over a decade before Lady Bird, because she does Broadway. She'd obviously done TV. And the reality is Laurie Metcalf's probably not going to get an Oscar, because she just doesn't do that many films. She's very, very talented, but she's dedicated to, you know, to doing plays and theater. And it just bummed me out thinking, like, Allison Janney will have more moments, but I don't think Laurie Metcalf would, which is why it hurt so much more for me.
In the fact that I know her best as Sheldon's mother on Big Bang Theory, is that all that more surprising that she, I loved her so much in this, and yeah. she totally Wait. Took on that character and just disappeared into it.
Who's on Big Bang Theory?
Laurie Metcalf is Sheldon's mom.
I'm surprised you didn't know that, Skyler.
Oh,
you
no.
Yeah. He's also on Roseanne.
I'm okay with her not winning, though.
Yeah. And Allison Janney's on Mom. It's like all sorts of.
Yeah, I was wondering if.
Yes, it comes in the mix.
Is Allison Janney's win kind of like the Sandra Bullock syndrome, where Sandra Bullock got like cheated on and divorced and then won an Oscar as like a, here, Sandra, we're sorry that happened to you? Is this kind of like Allison Janney's getting this because her daughter on Moms is getting divorced?
Oh.
Like, they're like, oh, Anna Faris getting divorced. Let's give her mom. They think that Allison Janney is her real life mom because of the TV show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her mom at Oscar,
if we believe this group of people are that confused, that could be an explanation.
Now, who has a better shot of winning an Oscar in their lifetime, Anna Faris or Chris Pratt?
Oh, Anna Faris.
You think so?
Yeah, for the Overboard remake I just saw the trailer for.
No.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, that's a travesty. That remake.
Maybe Shannon and I already answered, maybe we both answered this question already, but for Skylar, if you could take back one of the awards and give it to someone else, which one would you do? Or which one would you
do? I'd probably give, just because, like, between director, see, I'd give director, I love Guillermo, I'd give Best Picture to Lady Bird.
Yeah.
So that way, it just, because Best Picture is the biggest name, plus then you can have Lady Bird's poster get redone.
Like to do new planning,
and then put Best Picture on there.
Yeah, I'm dedicated to giving Lady Bird the artwork it deserves, because it's been underserved vastly. Not a great poster, kind of bums me out. Great soundtrack though.
The Dave Matthews Band.
Well, I guess the score. The score. What would you pick, Shannon?
One to give back. It would
go Best Picture.
It would be Lori. I got it. So all the acting categories, I feel like it came down to two people on all four of them. And in every case, the one I didn't want is the one you won. Yeah. So there's Willem. I also think Timothy Chalamet should have beat Gary Oldman. I'm sorry. Again, that performance, I like the ones that are quieter, more interesting performances than the ones that, I don't know, like Gary Oldman, it was just so showy, and a lot of it's the makeup, and he's a great actor, and there's just a big difference between someone impersonating like a really big personality and the taking on, you know, a new character that it's so quiet. And I started reading the book too, and so much of that performance is internal, and I liked that one too. I wish he had gotten it, but he's young.
Chalamet, he's just so peachy in that role. Like,
yeah. And what a good-natured, fun-loving kid, by the way. Every cutaway to him, he was just so happy to be there.
Oh, that's a Spirit Awards too. Like, even happier.
Oh yeah, the gas station attending.
He was FaceTiming Army during the opening monologue.
That was great.
So good. Army was shirtless too, which was a little weird.
Shannon, you brought up an interesting point on Gary Oldman, and I guess I didn't realize I have this bias, but like the more makeup that you are buried under, the less impressed I am with your performance, or like the more I dock you, because I think when you're just absolutely covered, it's almost kind of like, I don't know, if you put that much makeup on me to play Winston Churchill, I think I could do pretty close to a good job.
You're gonna believe it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Like, which is why you were so critical of Jacob Tremblay's performance.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Because I thought, I saw Wonder, and I watched it. I was like, Tremblay, what are you doing, man? You were great in Room. anyway, there were prosthetics in that film. Sweet movie, by the way. It's a crowd pleaser.
Wonder, that one's so cute.
Yeah, no, it is. Skylar, you should see it. You'd love it.
Hard pass.
So Kimmel's bit. I keep referencing it, but I've got to just get this off my chest. Last year, Kimmel does this thing that I will admit, when it happened, I thought it was kind of fun and cool, because it was like, that's crazy for these people. They'd have no idea they're about to see Meryl Streep and Denzel Washington. In retrospect,
it's not good.
Problematic. But even more problematic
they bring the people last year in the Dolby Theater, and there was these headlines, this hubbub about how one of those guys that he brought in had like a felony or like a criminal record. And it was like, even though the dude had served his time, you know, it's not like he was like out on bail or a fugitive or some kind. Like, the dude had served his time, but because he had a criminal record in the past, people were freaking out about security. Like, oh no, that, you know, how could you have let someone in like that, the Dolby Theater, which only serves to make that whole visual bad optics so bad. And so let's run it back the next year. Only let's not let them in. We will go across the street to them and tell them how awesome we are. Like, what? Like, what? And why do you grab Ansel first? That's your first pick. Like, you're captain picking your team. You're picking Ansel first. I guarantee my parents, if they were in that theater, they have no idea who that kid was. They would think he worked there. They honestly would.
It's pretty handsome. Yeah.
No doubt about it. But I've met a lot of some snack bar employees.
Yeah, it was a bit that didn't work last year, and they did it again. I really hate it when they do these. And Ellen a couple years ago did, like, order pizza and had that guy come in. It's just a bit that they keep trying to do, and it doesn't really work. Hmm. And I think you were saying it does come off as pretty elitist, like, I don't know. Yeah. Let's go among the common folk.
Let's go see the reactions. So excited to be graced by our presence because we are movie stars.
Didn't Chris Rock have Girl Scouts sell cookies to all the kids with the people?
Yeah, but that's dope. I mean, that's great.
I don't know. The one part of that I liked was Armie Hammer with the hot dog gun shooting those out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was a funny visual, but the rest of it.
Do we know why Tina Fey and Amy Poehler haven't hosted yet? Surely they've been asked, right?
I think there's a big difference between Golden Globes people that they get for the Golden Globes don't seem to go over to the Oscars very often. I wish they did. I think it needs to be a little bit funnier. If they got
Franco and Anne Hathaway one year, I mean, I think you can just roll the dice on Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
I think since Franco and Anne Hathaway ruined it, they're like way more cautious now.
If I'm being honest, go back and look. I think Franco sneakily gave the very best hosting performance ever. I actually think he's the number one. Close second. Billy Crystal's fourth time.
Billy Crystal's 11th time was way better than his fourth time.
Who do you want hosting it next year? Because it's going to be Corden.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's going to be Corden, I'm sure.
I'm not watching.
And the opening will be a carpool karaoke with Lin-Manuel. If you can.
Well, can I tell you my really sad thing?
Have we not gotten to that?
Have I not gotten to what?
To your sad thing?
Well, okay, so with regards to who should host, for years, I have been saying my dream host is Kevin Spacey. And so now it's like, no, we can't do it ever.
So nope, now it's Christopher Plummer?
Yes, exactly. Christopher Plummer should step in and do it.
What about Kevin Spacey? Like, I guess he can sing, but he's not particularly funny.
So he did the Tonys before this whole madness happened, and... Yeah, he sings. He's funny. He does a lot of impressions of classic movie stars. That's kind of fun. Does a really dead-on Jimmy Stewart.
Was Kevin Spacey
topical?
Was Kevin Spacey the one that we were most attached to that went down, rightfully so, in the Me Too? Because when I look at people like Matt Lauer and even Louis C.K., and like, there are people that are kind of like, yeah, I mean, I could see them being that way. You know, like, it's kind of not that, like, obviously Weinstein was like, no surprise in any way. But then there's Kevin Spacey. It's like, ooh, I like a lot of the stuff that guy's done. Ooh, that's not good.
I mean, like, K-Pax. No, I mean, like, but was it surprising? Because, like, this has kind of been out there.
Well, I didn't know that, though. That's the crazy thing. All these reports, like, Hollywood was like, yeah, we all knew. I'm like, the general public didn't know.
Did you not watch Difficult People on Hulu? Oh, you're missing out. See, that's the person who might host next year. By the way, my nose just went completely stuffed, so I sound like an idiot in my head. But
Billy Eichner?
Billy Eichner is going to host next year.
Yeah, that would be great.
They're not asking Billy Eichner.
They might ask Billy Eichner.
It would be entertaining, no doubt about it. But they're not asking. If Tina Fey and
Billy Eichner and Tiffany Haddish hosting together.
See, right now I'm thinking Tiffany Haddish should do it.
No, I think you're right. I think you're totally right.
We had her announce the nominees, so maybe they're willing to do it. And she, you know, we all still love her, even though she ruined everyone's names in that bit.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, then she had her neck kind of murdered by
that poor long-haired, long-bearded guy. Yeah. Tiffany Haddish.
I won't say.
That guy's definitely a felon, right?
Oh, no doubt about it, yes.
The guy in the movie theater who introduced Tiffany Haddish
and Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, the guy who, like, annihilated her name.
I was like, Jimmy, that's the guy you're going to pick to have come up? Screen these people.
So Tiffany Haddish next year. We know it's not going to be Ricky Gervais. I think Corden's going to be in the conversation. Has Fallon ever done it? Because that would be a really
good one. Kill me.
Oh, you love Fallon, Shannon, don't you?
Yeah. He took Golden Globes. I think the problem is, too, isn't Oscars always ABC? And the network picks their people. So that's why Jimmy Kimmel keeps doing it. That's why Jimmy Fallon did
it. Like Letterman done it. And, you know, people outside of the network. So they don't always. I mean, they buck that
trend. That's why Fallon did NBC. And anyway. Because they got
it. If Fallon does it, I'll be so sad.
Yeah.
What about Lin-Manuel? Could he do it?
Don't even tempt me.
I mean, Skylar, you're joking, but you know that conversation.
I'm not joking. At the Academy. You would do like a song and dance thing.
Well, that's the thing.
You would do like a rap musical to introduce all the movies. I prefer
less comedic angle and more that old-timey song and dance kind of Showtime. Like,
can I talk about my favorite host ever now?
Not Showtime. Yes.
It's Hugh Jackman. Is my favorite hosting job of all time.
I forgot about Hugh. Stumping for the greatest what's that movie called?
Greatest Showman?
Yes. I feel like he's still on that press tour, by the way. And it breaks my heart when people tell me how much they love that movie, because I sometimes don't have the heart to tell them that I think it's terrible.
Can we talk about that then too? Yes. Is that I do love the soundtrack for that. So that moment of the night I actually really enjoyed. The rest of the musical numbers was like, oh, okay, well, this is all falling flat.
Why didn't you wear a beard? Melissa McCarthy's out there and she didn't even wear a beard. It's very problematic to me.
Yeah. I'm
shocked. Address the fact I said Melissa McCarthy? Come on, somebody correct me.
You're mayor of Pittsville right now. Does it surprise you, Shannon, how many people adore The Greatest Showman?
Kind of, yeah.
I get that people love the music. It makes sense. It's catchy. It's got some good stuff.
But I think the music is good. It's just the story is a disaster.
That narrative is a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed it in a High School Musical sort of way, where I know it's not great, but like the musical numbers are fun and I'm just into it. But every time there's a musical number, it kind of sucked me back in that movie. But everything in between the music is a disaster. So. Yeah, I don't know.
Before we totally wrap up, I do want, I guess, looking to this next year, Shannon, you are a Sundance volunteer. How many years have you done it?
This was 4 this year.
4th year. And you help kind of usher in the theaters?
Yep.
So you get to see a lot of movies that way.
Yeah.
And a lot of famous people. Like, what was your best moment was it last month or 2 months ago?
So Octavia Spencer and Michael Stuhlbarg were both judges on, is it the jury? Anyway, whatever they call it, they were voting for whoever won. And they both saw a movie together. And that was kind of cute because I'm like, oh, they're both in Shape of Water and now they're buds. Octavia, at the time I was handing out ballots and I had to direct people like away from the door. There's a certain way you go in one door, out a different door. Anyway, so I had to tell her, like, you need to go that way. And she was about to fight me on it. And I'm like, no, please don't make me tell Octavia Spencer. Like, no, you need to go out that door. Anyway, she went out the other doors. So that was fun. I was really, Armie Hammer was there. I saw the film that he was in. So, and I sat right at the front because I'm like, I'm going to be really close to Armie Hammer if I know he's in there. Who else? Yeah, there were a bunch. It was a fun time.
Is there any film? How many did you see, actually? How many movies did you see?
This 15, I think, was my count.
So oftentimes there'll be films that, you know, they'll be part of the Oscar race that next year. Is there any film that you saw out of that 15 that you think will be in that conversation, or ones that had a lot of buzz that maybe you didn't see?
Now I'm trying to think of what I saw, but honestly, it was kind of a weaker year. And so I don't know that there's going to be anything. I really liked one called Blind Spotting with David Diggs, also like Hamilton. If it's not apparent, I like Hamilton stuff. So I saw that one. That was great. He's from Oakland, and him and his best friend writing partner like wrote this film that they've been working on for years and years and years. So that was excellent. Trying to think of what else. There's one called The Tale that Laura Dern is in. It's based on... So the what?
No, sorry. Immediately you got Skylar and I's attention because we're big for Dern fans. Yeah. Hashtag Dern Nation.
Yes. the director, it's about the director is sexually assaulted as a teenager. And so she wrote the story of her experience. And so Laura Dern plays her as an adult she didn't realize what had happened. She was kind of like, I'm dating an older man. And she didn't realize that this man was abusing her. So obviously like very heavy material, but Laura Dern does an excellent job in it. So I really liked that one. It was a good film and I cried and it was heavy. There's one called Search too that, now I'm just listing off my favorites because I don't know about Oscars. But
you made me look up whether or not Laura Dern has an Oscar because I couldn't immediately recall. And she doesn't, but she's been nominated twice.
Okay, for what?
1992 for the Rambling Rose and in 2015 for Wild.
Right? Yeah. So let's hope for good things there, I guess. There's this weird one that I don't know that it's not like Oscar bait kind of stuff, but it's with John Cho and it's all done on a computer screen. Like the entire film is just like watching this guy's monitor and his daughter goes missing and he's looking for her. So anyway, now I'm just saying things I liked, but
no, it's good.
Could have been such a cliche thing and it was actually really interesting. So anyway.
All right. I hope this next year, not just the next year's cinema, but the next year's Oscars, it's just a little bit more exciting. Just a little bit. I don't know if I can do 4 hours of that.
Do you think they were bringing out Faye and Warren Beatty again, hoping they would get another mishap and make it a little bit more exciting?
I actually thought that was like the last bit of hope of like, you know what, guys, go out there and just wreak havoc, cause chaos. I want them to walk out and Faye Dunaway to just rip it up and throw it out and be like, it doesn't matter, nothing matters, and then walk off stage. That would have been amazing. But no, they got a mulligan, they got a redo, and which I actually think I think that was actually kind of dumb. I think that if they were gonna do it, they should have done it at the beginning, like we talked about. But I didn't really love any of the. Anyway, sorry, I'm being a downer, but it was a downer.
Yeah.
All right, Shannon, tell us about Pop Culture Footnotes. What's your podcast about? Why should people listen?
Yeah. So my friend Courtney wanted to do this podcast because she figured there are a lot of films that people reference or they're just like touchstones in pop culture that people haven't actually seen. And so, for example, our first episode is The Godfather and you hear all these references, but a lot of people haven't actually seen The Godfather movies. Definitely do that if you haven't.
Like Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, so our goal with the show is to talk about these like really important films and books, and we do kind of the whole thing, but big things in pop culture that you would want to know about. So
if people were to look up Pop Culture Footnotes in iTunes podcasts or other places, which episode should they start with? Do you have a favorite or one that you think is strongest?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll tell you my personal favorite, but it's probably not the best to start with. I'm a big fan of John Green in YA fiction. And so that's the weirdest one where I'm like, people probably haven't actually read his stuff. So when his new book came out, I did a whole thing on that. I think The Godfather is a good one to start with too. It's very long because we covered all three parts and we spoiler alert on everything we ever do.
There's a third part to Godfather. Skyler, have you
seen it? Forget about that. we talk about the plot for all of them. So if you don't want to be spoiled on these things, don't do it. But we also talk about production of the film and why it's important and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We just did Wrinkle in Time ahead of that film coming out. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think right at the end there, we lost Skyler. I think he might have been frozen there for a while, and I didn't really realize it. in fact, one of our commenters asked, did a homeless guy just wander onto your podcast? The answer is yes. honestly, look at Skyler. I thought he looks really stoic and contemplative, and he's listening. Like, he's got a good listening face. I sincerely thought that was just his, his look. And it really, until I asked him a question and he didn't respond, I was like, oh, he's not with his answer. Like, 15 minutes ago, we were just going. All right. Well, Shannon, thanks for joining us. For being an Oscars expert and a fellow cinephile, we should definitely have you on again in the future, especially if there's especially Aaron and I will agree far too often, but if there's a movie we have a radically different take on, we've got to get you coming on and talking about it and telling us why we're wrong.
Totally.
Pop Culture Footnotes. We will listen to the podcast.
Check it out.
want to thank the ghost of Skyler for joining us as well. It was a pleasure. We have a tradition. We actually end each podcast by reciting Samuel Jackson's favorite famous line from Jurassic Park, hold on to your butts. So as we say, hold on to your butts. Thank you, Anna.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.